Hi, buddy. Welcome to a Thursday Sports Line, the Bulldog Hour. Captain Morey alongside, as always, we'll take you to three. Normally, we would hand it off to Phil for his fine show behind the bench, but as was the case the other day, Phil is ready to go with now semifinal round action in the CIF Central Section playoffs as Bullard and Redwood will get started at 3:45 today. Phil and James will be out there for that. So when we're done at 3 o'clock today, we'll jump back to the national net for about 45 minutes, and then Phil will come up with James for all the action. And also for us, the Grizzlies on tonight, because the Giants have an off day, and the A's are over on 790. I'll tell you all about the schedule, not only for today, but for Memorial Day weekend as well. A little bit later on, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his outstanding business, Precision Civil Engineering. Planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management, it's all there under one roof. 449-4500 or precisioeng.net on the net for more information. When we go over the schedules, I'll tell you about the great fundraising it does for his alma mater, Fresno State, through the Lyles College of Engineering. Jackson with me on a Thursday today. Matt Norville will be with me tomorrow. Jack Berger will join us next week. And we are diced around, by the way, next week, because not only is Monday Memorial Day a holiday, the official day, but the Giants have an afternoon game that would have preempted us anyway, and the Giants will preempt us on Wednesday of next week as well. So we will move things around the best we can, then we'll get back to normal as we roll full-time into June. Before I bring Jackson up, other lead dogs, want to spend some time with you. First, everybody at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. They afford me the time every day to tell you about the weather. Terrific local people. They've been in NorCal and Central California since 1981. You see the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. I've had them do work even during COVID. Really professional people, very competitive pricing, and just a great group to have around. So anything you need, Central Air Plumbing, Heating, or Roofing, you can give them a call at 825-5337, which is 825-LEES, or go to the web at leesair.com, and you can schedule appointments there. They also have the Lee's Air hotline. Jackson is waiting on that line right now. And Phil, when he is on air with his show Behind the Bench, can take calls from the general public. So mark it down, the Lee's Air hotline, 559-320-1430. As far as the forecast goes, getting a little bit closer to summertime temperatures here. We talked about the number of times we've had blistering hot Memorial Day weekends. That will not be the case this time. It's a little bit warm today at 95. It'll get to 96 tomorrow, 95 on Saturday, but then very quickly Sunday, 91 and down to 89 and breezy on Monday, 82 on Tuesday and 79 on Wednesday. So we get into June in a pretty big hurry here. We've got one more week to go of May after this one. And you have got yourself in the 70s, which is really, really unusual for us. But it is going to be rather warm today and tomorrow and Saturday, but still pretty comfortable. We've had many triple-digit days during this time of year. The lows will be in the mid-60s or thereabouts, and the lows will fall toward the high 50s and mid-50s when we get to that 79. And the breezes are what are really going to cause this, and the winds are going to be anywhere from 10 to about 13 to 15 miles an hour. That's the reason we're going to cool off. Anyway, good forecast. I hope you enjoy your Memorial Day weekend. And as I mentioned before, it is the unofficial start of summer. A lot of family gatherings taking place. But please remember what Memorial Day is all about and honor those that came before us and give us the freedoms that we have right now. Anyway, thanks, everybody, at Lee's for allowing us the time. Again, leesair.com, 825-5337, 825-LEES. Anything you need, Central Air, plumbing, heating, or roofing. A final reminder comes courtesy of our longtime friend and longtime sponsor, Joe Cruz at Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply. Year number 26 of his great business. Joe has been a benefactor at Fresno State for over three decades. And right now, if you have any need at all for pipe fittings, valves, sanitary fittings, food-grade chemical hoses, suction hoses, working around a valve, any of those necessities, stop by 4529 North Marty Avenue in Town Suite 103 or give Joe a call at 266-7473, which is 266-PIPE. or more information on the web at SuperiorPipeUSA.com or Gabe, who works for Joe, as a direct email, gabe.sbs@gmail.com. Mention this every day. If you are working around a valve, if you're a plant or maintenance person, tanker, delivery service operator, working around a boiler, maybe you're at a dairy, anybody who works around the valve, if that valve starts to go down, your business can take a big-time hit. So what Joe can do for you with same-day estimates and same-day service is analyze your situation. If it's a minor hit, get you up and running immediately so you don't even notice the glitch. If it's a major issue, they'll get started on it immediately to get you back up and running. It's a very, very important face-to-face business in a time and age when so much of what we get is impersonal, where you get into a voicemail tree, you can't even talk to a human being. Joe is a guy who not only will spend time with you, he will do it face-to-face or over the phone if you need to, and he will analyze first and foremost what you need and get started on it right away. And then if you have some time after that, he would like to tell you what he has done to benefit Fresno State for the last 3+ decades, and will tell you at the moment the best avenue is to head to the main website at GoBulldogs.com. There's a donate link at the top. You can't miss it. It'll take you to different areas of potential donation. BulldogFoundation.org has a link. Club Red, which is for former student athletes to get involved, it's under that header. The major giving societies are there at GoBulldogs.com. That would be the Green V Society and Myers Champion Circle. And then under ways to give, you have Valley Co-op, the matching funds organization. You also have Valley Fueled, and then the sports clubs where your money goes directly to a given sport. For instance, quarterback club for football, timeout club for men's basketball. Jack Furtick with me usually once a week to talk basketball, sometimes more than that, on the board of directors of the timeout club. He said they'd love to have more members. It doesn't cost that much. Great social gatherings and also a lot of inside information with coaches coming by for some of the meetings. Jack has said you want more information to join, give him a call on his cell, 559-287-3305, or go to the web at FurtickJack@AOL.com. That's his email. He'll get back to you as soon as possible. There are also links for other sports for both the men's and women's teams, so check that out under ways to give. And then finally, the singular word more is there. That link tells you all about events, tickets and parking, other things on campus to keep you involved in everything going on at Fresno State. So thanks, as always, to Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, for allowing us the time to tell you how to donate to Fresno State. Joe, one of the truly good guys. The same applies to Ed Dunkel and the great work he does with Precision Civil Engineering. And again, I'll tell you more about that business later on when we go over the schedules. And thanks, as always, to our friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. And right now, on that Lee's Air hotline, 559-320-1430, it is our great friend and de facto co-host, King of the Barkboard himself, Sir Jackson Moore. Jackson, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Tony. How are you?
I'm hanging in there, Jackson. I want to mention again to Paul G., to Gary up in Atwater, to our buddy Eddie, to Phil P., to all the guys, to Robert, all the guys that have emailed in. Guys, I would like to get back to you. I'm limited again. I've got a ton of surgeries coming up, trying to solve the hips and the knees and the back and all that stuff. It's all part of getting old. And because of it, the doctors do limit my time. So I appreciate the emails. When I can address them, I will. I tried to sneak an email into my great friend Gino in Visalia. I got one sentence in before I was summarily dismissed from access to what I need to send the emails out. So once again, I am called by the doctors, Jackson, the impatient patient. Okay. And so hard to imagine, right, Jackson, that I would be impatient. You know me as the king of civility, right? Isn't that me? Yeah, you bet. All right. So guys, I appreciate the emails. Keep them coming. TDAD1@ATT.net. TDAD, the number one, at ATT.net. I'll try to answer what I can over air. And speaking of that, and I do want to ask you, Jackson, about the top 10 standouts that you have seen now around Fresno State. We'll talk about that. You have a nice posting on the board about it. But first, to try to answer some of the questions in the way of housekeeping from the conversation you and I had on Tuesday, Morrow had asked about what I had said about UNLV offering up $20 million at one point to join the Big 12. Morrow, the context, and I know everything kind of between 2022 and now, everything has kind of run together. But keep in mind what we had talked about after the implosion of the PAC, that you had Stanford and Cal desperate to find somewhere to land, and their first entree to the ACC, which was really their only option, was turned down. And Jim Phillips, the commissioner there, took a straw vote. And like any good politician, he wasn't going to take the formal vote till he knew he had the votes. He had to go back and lobby. And it really came back to one president, that at NC State, flipping his vote from the straw vote to allow Cal and Stanford in. But they did that with tremendous concessions by Cal and Stanford. Seeing that as a lead, SMU fundamentally across the board just bought their way in and said, we don't want anything for like 7 years. That is the cue that UNLV was taking at that time. And they offered $20 million. I think it was from their visitors bureau there, saying we don't have to pay for a lot of the promotion for the PAC anymore because the PAC wasn't going to be there for their tournaments, whatever. The problem was what the Big 12 wanted to even consider UNLV, and keep in mind, Yormark did not think UNLV was a great cultural fit. Okay, he really didn't. But the presidents there at the Big 12 had said, no, we want $20 million a year guaranteed for 6 years. It's not an entrance fee. It's a seat license, if you will, meaning year after year. So $20 million, that's fine. We want $120 million over the length of the contract. UNLV could not do that. Now, whether if they came up with that money, they would have been considered or not, I don't know, because clearly Yormark didn't think they were a good idea. But that's the reason that UNLV put some money up, but not enough to sway people. So that was the explanation from what we were talking about the other day. And Jackson, one more time, as you and I have discussed over and over again, nobody in the pack needs to be in a big hurry, except I think you and I are both in agreement that if they go too much longer outside of the flex scheduling, which is really ungainly, trying to wait till the end of the year and pairing people up again, they really do, more than anything else, Jackson, have to get to that 19. Because I'm just thinking, look at a situation where if you're in a 4-3 year for football, let's take the flex schedule out. If you're in a 4-3 year where that happens to be the 3 home game year, Jackson, how daunting is it going to be to schedule 3 more non-conference home games and be able to pay those guarantees? You're not in a 100,000-seat stadium. You're not guaranteed a sellout. You're not Oklahoma or Alabama. You can put Compass Point in there and have 7 home games. Jackson, what do you do if you're a Fresno State or anybody else in the pack, the newly formed pack, if you have to come up with 3 more non-conference games in a given year? How do you make that work financially for you?
Yeah, it's tough enough, I think, for these programs to get 5 non-conference games, let alone if you have to get 3 of them at home and only 2 on the road. You know, you can imagine maybe 5 isn't so tough if you have Mountain West ties, you know, say Fresno State, they already have a bunch of games scheduled with San Jose State. If you can make a similar deal with Nevada, so you count on an FCS team to come out every year. You're 3 out of 5 there, and you know, maybe you sign up 2 Power 4 games to on the road to make some extra money, perhaps. But still, you know, you're going to have to go to San Jose State half of those games in Nevada, probably, if you were to do that. Or with someone else from your former conference, you're going to have to go there about half the time. So it doesn't quite work out unless you can get some power conference schools to come to your place, which there are some coming up here for the Bulldogs in the near future, but man, has it been a while.
The other thing about that, and you are correct in what you have to do, you have to ask the question for your fan base. Again, this is not flip on the lights and have 40,000 show up. We know that. Are you going to be excited about San Jose State or Nevada or any school like that coming in when it doesn't count toward conference? That's a difficult sell, is it not?
Yeah, it's. I think there's the history of the rivalry. I know Fresno State fans haven't been as passionate about it, say, as they would a Boise State, but it might be better than Wyoming come into town, or when you have the Spartans. And if it's early enough in the season and expectations are high, I think you can sell it. But it's one thing when that's one of your four conference games and maybe you've got a big opponent coming in non-conference. But if you already have four teams you're familiar with and Pac-12 play and then San Jose State, and then you have an FCS game, if that's your six, Boise or somebody is going to be coming to town, so you have a marquee game, or else you really need to try to bring someone in that is going to draw interest on top of that. And we see in the next few years, there's Stanford's coming to town. They've got on the books, I believe, Kansas and UCLA. Hopefully they come through. If you have one of those on your schedule, I don't think it matters who else. Just a non-conference home game. But if you don't have one of those marquee ones, we've seen a couple of these slates the last few years where you've got New Mexico State and Sac State in town. Let's say, it's not a very exciting lineup unless you've got one big conference game, and that's not always the case.
Well, that's why the conference tie-in is so critical, because you could attach import to the game irrespective of the opponent. There's no doubt about that, because when someone comes in, even if they are not of great marquee value, the selling point is always, this is a critical conference game, and particularly when you are in a conference with just eight, or in this case, if you had a ninth school, you're really almost in a must-win every time you turn around, Jackson. I mean, we talk about this all the time, right? Why is it that football, from a professional standpoint, is so much more popular than the NBA or the NHL or Major League Baseball? Well, there's the nature of the game itself and all of that, and there's gambling, of course. But, of course, gambling is across the board in sport these days. But the biggest reason is when you're playing the paucity of games, 17 games in a regular season, as opposed to 162 or 82, there's an import that's attached to it. I mean, an example right now, the Giants just finished a road trip where they won the first two in L.A. They lost the next two. They went to Sacramento to play an ace team that was in first place at the time. The Giants got two or three there, but then they go to Arizona and lose three. So it was a losing road trip. But you're not panicking about the three-game losing streak. You're wondering how good the team might be long-term, but you don't pull the fire alarm emotionally. Jackson, if you've got an NFL team and you lose three straight, you tell me how quickly everybody's running for the hills screaming, right? It's because there aren't that many games. The same applies in college football. Anything that is about your conference is of major import, no matter who it is, correct?
Yeah, and at least there's, I think, a little more leeway. There was just a long stretch there where, it was BCS or bust, and one loss pretty much derailed that. And with a tough schedule, that loss could come early. Yeah, it's been pretty rare the Bulldogs have been 3-0, which you would think it wouldn't have been the case, as good as the program has been, but it hasn't happened very often. So at least with the parity, everyone, I think, is about to expect one loss or so in conference play, and it's critical if you can avoid it to avoid tiebreaker issues, even with eight teams. I think we'll probably have a little bit of that this year, but at least you're not one loss away from losing the fan base and losing the import. I think we got a little bit of taste of that in the Mountain West the last couple of years with the more parity. Every game's going to be a battle, and it's not so crushing if you lose one, two, or three. It's still, all these games seem to be pretty compelling.
Well, you're right, but I will tell you, last year, for instance, the Colorado State game was the linchpin game. Right? You look back on it, whole different season if they win that game. That's just the bottom line. And we've seen it happen year after year, and you're correct, the old BCS days, everybody was playing single elimination just about. And still, in this day and age, the big boys have a much greater leeway than anybody who's trying to get there from the now group of six. The point is that you're going to have to come up, in my opinion, with that ninth team in a relative hurry. You can take your time the rest of the way. But as I've asked you before, Jackson, beyond, say, next year, can you really afford to get into 2028 without having that ninth team at a minimum for football?
And you sure prefer to avoid it. Again, there's just not many viable candidates, it seems. Now, maybe after we find out what happens with some of these lawsuits here in the coming weeks, maybe there's more money available. maybe they can go get someone. That would be awesome. You know, if the funds are there and the right program's there, they should do it as quickly as possible. It's grab the most attractive program and get to nine. If not, you know, it's just a tough one because, again, with the exit fees and all the money that it costs, the PAC hasn't been in a position yet to go get a preferred candidate. And either that's got to change within a year or they got to settle for someone they wouldn't have otherwise taken, which isn't a great plan B.
And that's a great point because it may very well be that they're still waiting to see if those transfer of funds that were promised to certain schools in the Mountain West actually take place, because there's been no confirmation about that. And along those lines, for everybody who has asked, and it's a lot of people that have asked about, are we going to hear something definitively by June 2nd? Is it going to be exit fees only, no poaching? What's it going to, okay, let's make this clear. You never say never in a court of law. I brought this up many moons ago, that when I was part of the ownership group of 1430, I am not part of the ownership now. It's Chris Pacheco and his group, and has been for a long time. And you know, Chris is a great and longtime friend of mine, and he's done a wonderful job. My group did not sell the station to Chris. We sold it to a Bay Area entity, and Chris bought it from them. So my ownership involvement goes way back to the start of the 2000s. So it's 25 plus years removed. But in my partnership, I was responsible, obviously on air, but responsible for the programming aspect. And I've mentioned this. I got into an issue with Westwood One, who is one of the chief syndicators. Matter of fact, Westwood One is where we get the National Football League national games from, and also we get college basketball and the Big Dance. And so they are still a great supplier of sport nationally. But we got into a situation where there was a program that should have been exclusive to us in our area here, and a secondary program from the same syndicator controlled by Westwood One ended up on the air at a competitor. And I was not too pleased about it. And I talked to the person I knew well at Westwood, and I said, I'm not going to clear your 4 minutes an hour, which is what they wanted in barter. They clear 4 minutes. We clear 4 minutes of their commercial time, and then we get the rest of the time. I said, because I want you to pull that programming off of another competitor, which was another sports stick in town. And we went back and forth, and finally, after a couple of months, I got a letter that they were going to fine me $300,000+ or whatever, and we're headed to court. And I called the guy back and I said, okay, look, here's the deal. You know my stance on this. I know your stance. So we need to solve this. And he said, you're right, because if you and I solve it, Tony, it will be done and over with. But if you let it get to legal, once it gets there and it gets into a court of law, neither side can predict what in the world is going on. So we settled it. It's why I mentioned the other day, Jackson, that a vast majority of lawsuits are settled before they arrive in front of a judge or in front of a jury, because both sides realize, first of all, only the lawyers win. That's the first thing, okay, because of billable hours. But you realize the folly in both taking a hard line. And, it, you know, we talked about it the other day, right? If you have a case, you pound the facts. If you don't have a case, you pound the table. But you can only pound the table so far. And in this situation right now, and we've talked about it, what is obvious to one and all is, here's the example I've used before, if you remember, Jackson. If you have a truck, a pickup, that you want to sell for $50,000 to me, you're going to ask $70,000 for it, and I'm going to offer $30,000, and you know you're not going to get $70,000. And I know I'm not going to get it for $30,000, but we are both trying to make it so when we move off our stance, we both arrive where we kind of hope we get to begin with, okay? Well, that's what's happened here with the PAC and the Mountain West. You've got Gloria Navarez asking for the moon. She's asking for exit fees, which are agreed upon by conferences, but also for poaching. Now, here's the problem with the poaching. First of all, if you are going to claim poaching, you're going to have to claim that the other party is a firm stance and not fighting for survival themselves. And one can argue that Washington State and Oregon State were not looking to poach. They were looking to survive because they were left at the altar by other people. That makes them much more sympathetic to any judge. The other point, and the most important one, is the one we brought up to begin with. The people, whether it was deliberate or not, the folks that run things for Washington State and Oregon State left fundamentally the Mountain West with a viable grouping of teams. Toward that end, Gloria Navarez was able to backfill in a big hurry. Jackson, it sort of makes it tough to go in front of a judge and tell them you've been injured when he's going to say, or she's going to say, you have a viable conference. You were left with a viable conference. You put other members in place. Exactly where were you injured? You're deserving of any contractual fees that belong to the exit fees, but you're not deserving of poaching. Now, you never say never, but you can see, Jackson, why there's motivation to get this over with, because I believe sincerely that Gloria Navarez knows she asked for the world and she's not going to get it. And the PAC knows that they have exit fees that they have to negotiate, but they're not going to get hit with substantial poaching fees, if any. I do not see any other way this goes about. How about you?
Right. And I think the PAC learned their lesson by its realignment with the ones that they suffered themselves and how some of the other conferences handled things. They didn't want to totally isolate the Mountain West, or perhaps they wouldn't be dealing with the conference membership number issues. It seemed like they built a little bit of a safety net there where they left the Mountain West with the team. There shouldn't be some of these issues, and hopefully that's what's kind of being figured out right now behind the scenes, and that they can get out of some of those costs, which it sounds like they're on their way to doing so, but I'm still waiting for confirmation on that.
Well, as I've said, you ask for the world. I've been in meetings with partners where there has been a conversation where they'll say, what can we ask for across the table without breaking out laughing about it? You know what I mean? Saying, you're going to go in there with such an absurd offer, you're not even going to be able to keep a straight face yourself. I've been there, all right? So I'm saying I don't fault them in the Mountain West. And you never say never. I mean, goodness knows, look at NIL, for God's sake. The logic, as we've said over and over again about NIL, was if you, Jackson, had played somewhere and you saw that your school cut a deal with a jersey that has your name on the back of it, right? And you're seeing none of it. Or a business is putting your likeness up somewhere and you're seeing none of it. Because of your performance, you were a cause celeb, and you're not being compensated. You have every right, whether it's a video game or whatever, every right to ask for compensation. That piece of logic took the first train out of town. And from there, we ended up with somebody that nobody has ever heard of in a community who has, through whispering in the old grapevine, been told you're going to get $1 million-plus to go to a school because somebody else has scouted you and knows you may be a benefit, and they're trying to claim NIL, name, image, and likeness, when nobody in the community knows who you are. Okay, so it's a complete bastardization of what we were supposed to have. It's because it got, one more time, into a court of law in front of a woman in her mid-70s who, by her own admission, said, I do not follow sport. And I really don't know why this would be that way, but I'm going to apply the principles I would apply to free marketplace economics, which was a mistake. So with that as a backdrop, Faizan, I would say never if you get into adjudication in front of a judge or a jury. But I cannot imagine anything more than get the exit fees. You, Mountain West, you are whole, so get on with your life. Pack. You go ahead and pay what you're supposed to pay, agreed upon contractually for leaving those schools. You have your nest egg you got from the departing PAC 12 schools. You get on with your life. Everybody go to your neutral corners and get on with it. And by the way, schedule one another in non-conference to solve your problems. Isn't that where we're headed, Jackson?
Yes. Curious if it's substantial enough, if everything settled to the point where does the PAC have enough money out of all of that to do something else that they haven't been able to do? They have to keep that set aside. Is the Mountain West short of they had promised the UNL and Air Force. So there's a couple of big implications. And more than likely, business as usual, but we'll go the way that we planned. We'll see what that does, that extra team.
I tell you what, Jackson, your cell is breaking up, so let's do this. All right, let's take the break right now. I'll get Jackson reconnected, and we'll come back and have you reiterate what you just said. Take a break. Bulldog Hour continues on this Thursday on Central Valley Sports Leader, 1430 ESPN. Hi, buddy. Welcome back. 238. Here till 3 o'clock, we'll head back to the National Network for 45 minutes because Phil getting ready for Bullard and Redwood semifinal action, Central Section playoffs. So Phil and James will be there for that one. And then after that, the Grizzlies will be up with the Giants off today. The A's are over on 790. I'll tell you about the schedule a bit later on. Right now, we'll bring Jackson back up. Jackson, how you doing?
I'm okay, Tony. How are you?
There you go. Okay, I knew you much better. People just tuning in, Jackson, the cell was breaking up, and so I wanted to reconnect. A couple of things here, Jackson, before you restate what you had said. The point I'm trying to make to people is this. As much as you can have a strong case, nobody can be sure what a judge or a jury is going to rule. And so even if it's a slam dunk, it is still in your vested interest, even if you have the upper hand, to settle things equitably before you run into an incomprehensible decision. That's what NIL ended up being, and I've said this many times before. If they would have gotten out in front of it 40-some years ago, before all hell broke loose with the television contracts, and they would have made it clear that this was going to be a voluntary association, or as the NCAA is purportedly. And in order to participate, it's not jury duty. You are not required to play athletics. You're not required to field teams at a university, but if you are, you're going to play within the confines of everybody else's agreement. Instead, everybody decided to ignore the elephant in the room until the thundering herd ran them over, and that's what it ended up in the courts. It was a real stupid thing to do. There should have been a compromise between your rank and file, your employees, your de facto employees, meaning your athletes, and the administration of schools. It was a stupid, self-centered thing to do. And unfortunately, while you can say the administrators have gotten exactly what they deserve, the old shillelagh you know where, we as the general public are victims of it. I bring it up because you have to be careful now, even PAC having an upper hand, that you don't allow this thing with the settlement or whatever it's going to be the Mountain West to drag into court and actually get there when some judge or somebody makes another head-scratching decision. That's the motivation. And because of it, even though you could be 99% sure it's going to work out for you, there's always that 1% that leads you to believe just maybe somebody makes a decision that makes no sense in the long term. That having been said, I'm confident both sides are going to get on with life. Paul G, to answer your question, will we have the public disclosure of it? Don't know if we're going to get the exact details. Don't know if it's going to be announced on June 2nd. All I know is I will be stunned if this drags into court. The PAC has a tremendous upper hand. They're motivated to get this done. The Mountain West has to get it done. So I would think that it is going to be whatever the contractual agreement, and again, the devil is in the details, that was there in regard to exit fees. That's what's going to be honored, and that's all that's going to be honored. Now, you were saying, Jackson, before your cell broke up, go right ahead.
Yeah, I'd also expect life to go on about as expected between the two conferences. I suppose if it's significant enough one way or the other, there could be some implications, whether the Pac-12 has additional monies to go do something with, or you know, if the Mountain West falls short to pay out the type of money that UNLV and Air Force were expecting. You know, maybe that turns into another chapter here, but you know, I ultimately expect it to be somewhere in the middle, and the Pac goes on and tries to find a ninth team probably elsewhere.
Yeah, and that's why both sides should be, we said how many times, if you want to get it, you know, there's two things that come up. I brought up the example about the truck, right? Overpricing at delivery or underpricing at the meet in the middle. I heard this how many times, right? You know, I don't have to sell this. Well, I don't have to buy it. Okay. There are other times where both sides are equally motivated to meet in the middle. And I would think this time, even with the PAC having a clear cut advantage in the case, you just don't want to leave it to chance. You don't want something incomprehensible to happen to you. It would not be in your best interest, particularly when you still have a lot of work to do. Because as I've mentioned to you before, Jackson, if you want to put a letter grade on the pack right now, it is the Big I, incomplete. They are a conference that was able to lop off bottom feeders. I don't say that in a derogatory sense, but market size or following for programs, doing something that university presidents normally don't do. In this case, it's because you were invitees. It wasn't your conference making a decision. It was two schools, Washington State and Oregon State. It enabled you to join a conference, leaving behind those that were not desirable. That's great. Now the question is, if you're going to look at 12 as your goal, where do you go with 9, 10, 11, and 12? And that's where your focus needs to be. It doesn't need to be bleeping around in the courts right now, hoping for a decision. If it's pushed by the Mountain West, you have no choice. But Jackson, I cannot imagine the Mountain West wants to push this any further, because they don't, you know, injustice for all, right? You know, he wants to win so bad, he just forgot one thing. He forgot his case, right? I just don't see their case right now. But, you know, maybe they'll find a judge that's that blind. We've seen it before. All right, that having been said, before we wrap it up today, and we'll get back to it next week, Jackson, the guys that have impressed you most right now at Fresno State, what are you looking at, either recruits or guys on campus? What are you looking at here? Do you have a top 10 you put out there?
Yeah, looking at some players that just were guys that just grabbed our attention over the course of spring, whether it was in camp or in off season, transforming their bodies. And you know, Braden Walton is a guy, you know, usually when we look at these things, I think about players that really skyrocketed from, you know, below the depth chart up towards the top. But you know, Walton's big freshman fall seems like it's only gotten better this spring. He was recently named the newcomer of the year for the men on campus, and that's a pretty big award considering all the transfers that come in in this day and age. That's a, you know, you imagine it would probably go to one of those older players, but as a freshman, he was able to do that. And on the field, saw him get a little bit leaner this spring, says he's dropped 15 pounds and kind of working on upping his pass protection a little bit. And then maybe we'll see the passing game open up a little bit more from the offense this year. So, you know, a guy like that's pretty impressive. And then a player like Tommy Nix, who we haven't seen at all yet and has been injured for early in his Bulldog career, comes in the spring at a new position basically and picks off a bunch of passes. So, you know, it's been a nice blend this offseason of players that, you know, some that really grabbed our attention or stood out over spring that it might not necessarily mean they're playing this season, but all of a sudden your trajectory looks a little bit different, even maybe as soon as 2027, some of these guys like him. Tiger Canales is another one who went from little known last year to suddenly getting second team reps in the spring. All of a sudden you've got some players that look like, oh, they might fill needs next season, 2027, instead of maybe having to go to the portal for some of those spots.
I've asked you about acquisition versus retention, and as much as basketball has taken huge hits, football, as you brought up, and you're absolutely right, relatively unscathed. Are you confident that's going to continue for Fresno State, both with players and coaches?
Well, coaches will be an interesting one, just because I think Nick Benedetto, the Bulldogs, are probably fortunate to have him for even one more year. I'm sure that by all accounts, he had some interest coming his way, and he's really put together a good resume. And also, he's got a pretty loyal defensive staff with him. So, you know, it's hard to imagine Fresno State's going to be able to keep that group for too long. At the same time, even Coach Entz himself, 9 wins last year, you know, if they have a big season this year, you know, it might be tough if the right school comes calling. So, you know, that's a challenge, and obviously that would be a big change if something like that were to happen in the near future. I think all these coaches love Fresno State and they're very committed, but at the end of the day, if the right school with the right offer comes along, it's going to be tough for anyone to turn that down. I think that's understandable. But player-wise, I think they've had followed a pretty good blueprint here. They've got a lot of buy-in from the players. Of course, a certain level of guy, it's going to be tough to keep, but also. It's been just such a team effort and well-rounded where you don't have a whole lot of players putting up huge numbers individually. So I think they've done well there. And we saw this spring, they really committed to developing players that, you know, could replace a guy if they do lose one of those players to a big NIL offer. And hopefully for the staff that are looking to bring in big freshman classes, they're going to be working on it here the next couple of weekends. And again, those guys, they try to get ready to fill in for players that leave so that they're not having to spend big money and having to recruit too hard in the portal when that time comes around.
Just curious with the coaches. Do you have a lot of them, Jackson, that have school-age kids, or they have young enough families where leaving is not that difficult? And the reason I bring it up is because many times we have seen coaches here who have kids that are of a certain age where they really want to make the Herculean effort to stay put if possible. Now, you know, if you've got a Kalen DeBoer kind of situation, which I guess now is probably the template for a lot of coaches that come here, right? You're not going to turn it down. But you're around the coaching staff. Are these relatively young families we're talking about that makes them more mobile than having to worry about the involvement your kids have in school, extracurricular activity, all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, there's a lot of coaches with young families, and when all the kids show up, it's almost like a daycare out there at the practice field. There's a lot of young ones running around. So a lot of those coaches are in the same boat there. I mean, even Coach Ince with an older group of children, you know, he's been traveling a bit to see his son at Sac State as a pitcher, and I get to see some of those games. So
that's beyond that concern. Yeah, that's beyond involvement when you're in college. I'm referring mainly to families that are in middle school, high school, those kinds of situations, right? Even Kalen DeBoer had his daughter playing softball here in town. So, I mean, that makes it a little bit trickier, right?
Yeah, it does. And, you know, especially you got these defensive coaches that came from NIU after a few years there. You know, we come here for a few years, right. Go somewhere else for another few years. I think that's just the lay of the land here. And some of those families might be young enough to where the kids aren't impacted all that much. But, you know, at the same time, you got to look at the other end of things. If you're Fresno State and you got coaches that are doing that well, you know, that means you had some good seasons if those coaches are desirable. So you kind of want to straddle it a little bit to where, you know, you don't want coaches that aren't wanted by other programs. That means things aren't going so well. But it's tough to hit home runs on those coaches hire after hire, and that's where it becomes a challenge because, you know, it feels like there's a lot of home runs on the staff, and it might be tough to replace some of those guys. So, you know, to be determined here in the next couple of years.
And the last question for you about this, the local kids, if NIL isn't a monster consideration, and I'm not saying it is for everybody, still the tendency for the local kids to want to stay home. Is that a fair statement, or is that not the case in this day and age where maybe national TV and other things are still important in addition to NIL? Particularly with the freedom of movement you have right now.
Yeah, that's the expectation. I think the thing I'm most curious about is a lot of recruits, it seems like Fresno State's involved in same competing programs. You're looking at a lot of the recruits are visiting Fresno State. They're also going to be visiting San Diego State, Washington State, Oregon State, Boise right. State in some cases. And so a lot of those schools. And you know, for a long time in the Valley, there might be a recruit who, if they got an Oregon State or Washington State offer, you know, that might be all they need to do to go to try to get to that Power 4, Power 5 level, play in the Pac-12 with Fresno State in the Mountain West at the time. But, you know, some of those schools still carry some of that for some local players, or is it everything an even playing field now? Is the Bulldogs going to more consistently keep schools, players home at Fresno State compared to Oregon State and Washington State? Is this still kind of an even playing field? Maybe the Bulldogs keep some of them home, or maybe some of the kids want to get away, and Oregon State, Washington State still, you know, same kind of level that might still be enough to draw them out. So I think this is going to be a good case study here this summer, official visit season again, because Virtually all of the recruits that Fresno State's going after in the Valley are going to officially visit the Bulldogs, but most of them are also going to be checking out these other Pac-12 schools. So we'll see how well they're able to keep them home in this new dynamic.
Great point. Forget the nightlife in Vegas. That's no longer an issue. It's the allure of Corvallis, Oregon. And, of course, do I need to say it? The Palouse. Okay, so right there, Jackson. That's Pullman, Washington, ladies and gentlemen, Corvallis, Oregon. The bright lights, the nightlife. You can't keep them down on the farm once they've seen Perry. You know that. So, all right, that's me throwing out insults to our conference mates before we even get started. So they're both wonderful places, by the way. All right. On that high note, enjoy your Memorial Day weekend. I know you will honor it appropriately. What's going on in the board here, specials-wise?
We still have the 50% off a year. If people want to join in and get covered for the recruiting season here and stay covered through the 2026 football season. We've also got $1 for your first month if you want to check it out and get in on the scoop here. With visits coming in, we'll be talking to most of these recruits and getting reactions and getting intel on where things stand and interviews with the commits. So hope people check it out at barkford.com.
Well, it's well worth it. Doesn't cost that much. Great insight information. Jackson, have a meaningful and outstanding weekend, and I will talk to you on Tuesday, my friend. Take care.
All right, you too, Tony. Thank you.
All right, to Fact co-host Jackson Moore, barkford.com. Okay, very quickly here, because we did take the break earlier, let me go over the schedule, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his outstanding business, Precision Civil Engineering, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management. It's all there under one roof. More information, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net. Ed does such great work, has one of the best civil engineering companies you're going to find anywhere in the world. And he also does great work for his alma mater, Fresno State, in fundraising through the Lyles College of Engineering, where the goal is always to unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. It's worked beautifully over the years, and a lot of those grads from the Lyles College of Engineering on campus at Fresno State go to work for it at Precision Civil Engineering. As far as the lineup goes, again, Phil and James ready for Bullard and Redwood. That's semifinal, one of the two semifinals, obviously, one of the two for the Central Section, 3:45 the pre. When that one wraps up, it'll be time for the Grizzlies tonight. The Giants are off today. They're home tomorrow. They come off the road. They'll host the White Sox. The A's are over on 790 tonight, wrapping up the long series in Anaheim against the Angels. Another 6 o'clock pre, 6:40 first pitch. Over the weekend, we have the Giants. We have the A's. We have NBA action, both the Western Conference games with the Spurs and the Thunder, and the Eastern Conference with the Knicks and the Cavs. Of course, they're going to play tonight, but we'll get to them over the weekend. And then we're off on Monday and back with you as normal on Tuesday. And again, remind you, Bill, normally 3 to 6 Monday through Friday with an outstanding show behind the bench, including normally Thursdays at Fashion Furniture. Not today because of the playoff game. And thanks to Rod Avedikian, his tremendous understanding about this. And Rod has his terrific Memorial Day sale underway. And normally on Thursdays, Phil is there 3 to 6 on Paso across from River Park. A great conversation of Phil's show. You can always reach him on the Lease Air hotline, 559-320-1430. Also, the best furniture you find anywhere and some good eats as well on Thursdays. And, of course, stop by Fashion Furniture every day of the week if you possibly can. Paul Metters has another fine show for us on Saturday mornings, and that is Central Valley Sports Report, 10 a.m. to noon, live from First Ring Sports. We are with you at 2 o'clock. Each and every weekday, you can reach me, tdad1 at att.net, tdad, the number one at att.net. Like I said, I can't answer your emails privately right now. I'll try to get to them over the air the best I can. And then finally, reminders about the station, everything you need, 1430 ESPN, Fresno.com. Get the live links and podcasts there. Get the app, makes it a lot easier to listen and check out everything about Bulldog Sports Enterprises. As on July 1, we become the flagship once again for Fresno State Athletics, and the partnership to try to drive things forward at Fresno State financially is right there between this radio station and 790, by the way, and Fresno State. So we look forward to that. Thanks to Jorge. Thanks to Jackson. Baseball coming up in 45 minutes on KFIG Fresno.